Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you, Holy Spirit, are the teacher. You're the one that anoints my mouth to speak, Lord, and the ears to hear more than what is being said. Oh, we love you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory and give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk some more tonight about the works of Jesus. I think we were talking a little bit about it. We haven't really gotten into them yet because we were talking a little bit about what comes along with the works of Jesus is quite obvious, and it's happening all over the world. There is some persecution that takes place, and sometimes it leads to physical and emotional suffering. And sometimes we, even as we walk with God, I was wiping my eye and touched it just a little. So anyway, praise the Lord. Well, let's turn there to John chapter 14. And let's just begin in verse, let's just start at the beginning. Hallelujah. John 14, 1. And we're going to read a few verses tonight. And I want us to realize that if we're going to walk in this life, we're going to be His disciple. How many want to be the Lord's disciple? Amen. That means what Jesus said, if you're going to be like, what, your master, then we're going to have to act like Him, right? We're going to be just like Him. We're going to have to follow closely. We're going to have to be in tune. We're going to have to fellowship. We're going to have to begin to walk and do the same things that He did. Amen. Hallelujah. To be able to produce what He produced in the earth. Amen. How many know that Jesus, you see, His fame became great, not because of who He was, but because He knew who He was. Do you understand? He said, I didn't do the works, but the Father in me. He knew who His Father was, and He knew who He was. He knew His place. His place was in what? Submission, number one, under the Father. Submission to the Father. Completely surrendered. And we said that many times. But let's start here in the first verse. And it just says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Or if we look that up here in the margin here, it says dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, hallelujah. Now we know that, well, hallelujah, that where Jesus was right then was in the relationship with the Father. He was alive to God. Amen. He was one man. The only person that was alive to the Father, because why? He was not tainted in sin. His blood was what? That of God the Father. So sin did not dwell in Him. He did not have the DNA of sin dwelling in Him. He was alive to the Father from the beginning, from birth. He was already born of the Father. Born again, we would say, like we are now. But not one person around Him had God living in them. Can you imagine that? Think about it. If you were the only Christian, the only one, I mean nobody else, you know you're alive to the Father. Jesus knew He was alive to the Father. Now, there were people that believed through the old covenant way, of course, through the sacrifices, but they did not have God dwelling on the inside. Not yet. He said, I'm going to prepare that place for you, that where I am now, right now, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go or whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says to the Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where you're going, Lord. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, now think about it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus is explaining to them that I am the way. I am getting ready to lay my life down on the cross so that you will be able to have access to the Father. He's not really talking about later on, although he is going to come again in the cloud. But he said, I'm going to receive you first. I'm preparing this place with the Father, so you can know him. See, the reason many times, we were talking a little bit about the persecution, but it comes because they don't know the Father. When people don't know God, they don't know, or maybe they know God, maybe they've been born of God, I should say, but they don't know him. You say, well, how can they be born again and not know God? Well, have you ever heard of the prodigal son? Anybody in here ever heard of the two sons, the prodigal son and then what? The son that was in the father's house. And he was trying to please his father with all his works. He was out in the field and he worked all the time and took care of things around the house. And, you know, he came and he divided to each of them their inheritance. They were both sons. They were both in the father's house, but one son left the father's house. He said, I'm going to go do my thing. I've had enough here. I got my inheritance. Here I go. And of course, he fared sumptuously and did all the things he shouldn't have done away from the father, yet the father is looking for his return. And of course, we know when he did return, what happened? He was given what? The robe of righteousness. Here he had gone out and he was so out of it. He finally comes to his senses. He's so down and out. He's trying to find some kind of work. He'd lost all his money. He had spent every penny he had. There was nothing going good for him, and he was beginning to get hungry to the point that he was feeding the pigs and thought about eating that food. I don't know if you've ever seen pig food, but boy, I've slopped the pigs before. And it's not funny. That's pretty low. That's pretty low if you're thinking about eating that food. That's far down there. But he came home and the father gives him the robe of righteousness. Well, what about the son who was already in the father's house? He got jealous, didn't he? He said, Father, here I've been here, I've worked for you, I've worked hard, I've been here all my life, I've never left you, I haven't done any of these dirty deeds. Why haven't you given me a fatted calf, Lord? Why didn't you throw a party for me, Father? What's wrong? And he turns to the son who had been with him all along. He said, did you not know that all I have is yours? You can have a party any day of the week. You can come into my house anytime you want, into my presence, and we'll be glad to throw you a party. Our Father, see, sometimes people know the Father, they know God, you know, or they have a relationship with the Father through the things that they're doing, and yeah, maybe they confess Jesus as Lord, but they did not know that the Father, they didn't know the Father would bless them, that he would be happy to fellowship with them. Hallelujah. But here Jesus isn't, you know, is saying, and so that's why I was saying a lot of times persecution comes when people don't know the Father. Whether it be a religious person, that maybe they've been born again, but they're working and trying to keep their salvation through their own works. Yeah, and they received the blood of Jesus and they know how to get to heaven, but they really don't know the Father. And here Jesus was saying in verse 7, because verse 6, he said, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He that comes unto the Father, no one comes to the Father but by me. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And have henceforth, you know, and from henceforth, you know him and you've seen him. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, how you say then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Hallelujah, the Father that dwells in me. See, Jesus knew who his Father was. He understood the relationship between him and Father God. That yes, he was to pay the penalty and to provide the way. He's telling them, I am the way. I'm telling you, I know. He found himself in the Word of God. We've talked about that Jesus had to grow in the knowledge of God and to find his place. But verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else at least believe me, what? For the very work's sake. Because of the work that I do. You've seen me, Philip. You've seen me, boys, disciples. You've seen what I've done. Believe me, I'm in the Father and he's in me. And I'm going to prepare a place so that where I am, where is he? In the Father. And the Father in him. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am in the Father, you may be also, what? In the Father. So that the Father will be in you and you will be in the Father. You'll have access to all that the Father has. All that I am. Hallelujah. For the great I am. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, and whatsoever you shall ask, 13, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now here this is one of our favorite verses here, verse 12. We say truly, truly, or verily, verily, or Jesus is saying truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth here. He that believes on me, if you believe that I am the way, he's saying that. I am the one that's in the Father. The Father's in me. I've showed you the Father. I showed you what he's like with my very works, with my very life. We see it in the life of Christ. And he's saying here, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, truly, truly, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's a real nice verse and it sounds easy. Come on, just do what Jesus did. Well, what did Jesus do? What did he do? The Bible says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth, right? With that power. He didn't do anything. Hallelujah. What is it? 10:38. Let's read that for a minute. Let's turn over there for a minute. Now see, we want to do the works that Jesus did. But sometimes we don't realize Jesus didn't do any works until he was anointed by the Father. He wasn't even, you know, he was really about 30 years old before he really began his earthly ministry. He hadn't done any works yet. I mean, the only works we see is a little bit of understanding we see that he had when he was 12. And then we know he went home and he was subject to his parents. And then we see him spending time with the Father in prayer. And he calls the disciples. That's his life. But here he didn't do any of the greater works. Acts 10:38 said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now that's important. He didn't anoint Jesus the Christ. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man. Everybody say the man. Amen. See, everything he did, we want to remember, he did as a man. Therefore, if God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man, he can anoint you. Amen. And has anointed you. We'll get to that in a little bit. We'll get to that some one of these times here. But right now we're looking here. Where was that? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and with power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we say, well, I got the Holy Ghost, I got power. Well, he's a person. But here he's talking about with authority. See, you can be anointed with the power of God. That means there's two forms of power. Right? There is dunamis power and there is exousia power, which is authority power. Power to say, power to be able to do that and to demonstrate. Now he had power to what? Demonstrate these things, but it was under an authority. The Holy Spirit was backing him up with the working of God's power. He said, I'm not doing the works. Because I'm in the Father. Remember over in John, we read that. He said, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. It's he that's in me that does the works. Are we really, you know, when we're born again, we are in the Father. The Father comes in us. We become one with God. It's a great union. That is awesome. It just, every time I think about it, I know I've talked about it here, and I know sometimes I get excited, but because it becomes real on the inside of us, it's a truth. We're not the same. We're not old sinners saved by grace. I'm sorry if you believe that. We need to get our mind renewed to the truth that we have been born of the Father, and our nature on the inside of us, our spirit man, was changed from darkness to light. He ripped out that old man, and there's a scar on the inside there where it was taken out, and you were given new life. An eternal life that moved on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You became a, what, son of the living God. And now, just like he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, do we really believe God's with us? I know he was with Jesus, and he anointed Jesus, but Jesus said in John 14, you believe what? The Father's in me, and I'm in the Father. And I want so that the Father can be, so that where I am in the Father, right? In the Father, you can be also. in the Father and the Father in you. I'm going to get this ready for you. And when we are born again, that takes place. He moves in. Sin moves out and love moves in. Amen. Life moves in. The Zoe of God, the power of God. And we have that, and then we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. God anointed. Anointing just means, really it means to smear on, to rub in. It's like when you go to the masseuse and they put that oil on you, right? You know, and they put some cream or whatever all they put in there and they rub it in real good. And they keep rubbing, and that is what the anointing is. When God comes on you and comes in you and He anoints you, He puts His hand upon you. He rubs Himself in you. Hallelujah. And He lives on the inside of us. Don't you know? Don't you know that you're the temple of the living God? Paul said to the Corinthians, don't you understand? Don't you realize He lives in you? Hallelujah. How many believe God lives in me? I live in Him. And He is with me, like He was with Jesus. He'll be with me. Hallelujah. If we can get that understanding in our mind and get our minds renewed, see, that's the renewing process. That's where we're learning to walk with Him, is when we can believe, yeah, He lives in me. I live in Him. His anointing rests on me. His power is with me. God is with me. Therefore, I can. Therefore, I can overcome whatever it is that comes against us. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we have things in our flesh that come against us, and we battle those things, but we can win. Why? How God anointed. How God anointed. Amen. Put your name in there. Amen. How God anointed Brother Doug. Pastor Doug, with power, with the Holy Ghost, and with power. Hallelujah. Why? He could go about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed you, whatever your name is. Amen. Diana, Hannah, Michelle, even you, John. Amen. God anointed you, John. He blesses you. He anointed Tony and Terry and Lisa and Joseph and Vicky and Jim and whoever else gives their heart to Him. He moves in. But we've got to get to know the Father. And we've got to realize that we aren't just an old sinner anymore. My life has changed. I'm not a sinner. I'm a representative of my Father. He sees me differently than how the world sees me. See, we still get played the music sometimes of what was told us. Even if you were in a Christian home, maybe those Christian people didn't really know the Father. So they told you, oh, you're just an old sinner, saved by grace. If you just hold on, you might make it to glory. Well, I've got news. That was a very okey there, but anyway. you can take that part out, Joe. Anyway, I've got news for you today. You become a saint. You've been changed. You're not the same as we used to be. We talked about it on Father's Day. We now can cry out, Abba, Father, the Daddy of my spirit, the Father who created me, the one that moved and made His home in me, Hallelujah. And I moved in with him and he moved in with me. And now there's a relationship that I've got to begin to see. I've got to begin to move my eyes off of who I was and what this world says I am and what religion tells me I am, and get a hold of the Word of God and say, yes, Lord, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His very righteousness moved into me. He said, well, I know that. I understand. But see, we've got to come to the place where it's real on the inside of us. We've got to let it build on the inside. It doesn't have to take a long time, but we've got to take some time, get our mind thinking the way he thinks. God is with me. You think Jesus knew God was with him? Apparently, the disciples and those of the day knew that God was with Jesus. Amen. He was anointed. So, well, where was he anointed? He was anointed when he was baptized, remember? Let's go to Matthew 3 for a minute. See where he was anointed. Sometimes we get the anointing on us. And we think, whoo, things are going to change now. Oh, glory to God. And they do change. And just like Jesus, we might get led into the wilderness. How many know temptations come? The enemy comes to tempt us. But let's see here. We're going to chapter 3. Sorry about that. Matthew 3. And here we see where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. So he's preaching and he's coming and let's see here. Verse 11. Well, yeah, verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. John is preaching here. John the Baptist. This is the cousin of Jesus. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him. No, 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 Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized of you, and you're coming to me, Jesus. Wait a minute, I know you're the greater one. I've been preaching you. I've been telling them you're coming. One greater than I is on the way, and here he came. The day came. He'd probably said it other days. They were coming to be baptized. He said, the greater one, you know, one's coming that's greater than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with fire. Power, in other words, a cleansing, a newness. A freshness. What does fire do? Purifies, doesn't it? It also heats some things. It cooks some things. And if it's in there long enough, hopefully it's going to burn some things off. Amen? You can melt some things in the fire. Glory to God. He said he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. But here John is there and he's saying, now Jesus, come on. I know you're greater than I. I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. We need to fulfill every part of the law and every prophecy that's gone forth, John. And then John suffered him. He said, all right, come on, Jesus. And Jesus when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. And you know what he says over you? You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not because of how great we were, but because of how great Jesus was. His perfect obedience became yours. That's what righteousness is all about, a free gift that comes from Him. We can't earn it. We can't get more righteous, but we can receive what Jesus gave us, and we can walk in a place of righteousness, knowing that I can now boldly come to the Father without the fear of condemnation or guilt. Why? Because righteousness was accredited to me. It was not just accredited, it was given to me through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the great Father above moved in. Amen. How many know that the Holy Spirit is involved in your salvation? He quickens your spirit, takes it from death to life. Yet, the Bible says there is another work that takes place where the Holy Spirit will baptize you. And here we know Jesus already was alive to the Father. And here he was, the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, lighted on him, came right on down. They, boom, apparently it was visible. Perhaps he did like he did, you know, when they, when he took the disciples up and he was transformed before them. Perhaps there was a part of that that took place. They saw the light of God on him. They saw something come on him because they wrote about it right here. It was quite obvious. The Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting upon him. And there was a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, hallelujah. They were longing for that day. They were being baptized for the remission of sin by John. But boy, Jesus came. Hallelujah. Oh, I mean, there were people, you know, there were a lot of them looking for the Messiah. Not every person rejected Jesus. We know that. All the disciples, they were Jewish too, you know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them. They were looking for the Messiah. And when he called them, they realized this is who he is. He is the one that's to come. However, they thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, didn't they, at first? But here he's setting up that heavenly kingdom. And Jesus was there, and John said, there's one greater than I. Greater than who I am. I've been declaring him. I'm preparing the way for Jesus who's coming. He said, I am. What did he say? I am the way. John was saying, he's coming. I'm preparing what? The way. So that the way can come here right now. He's come to be baptized. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And then he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Of course, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. Therefore, it tells you it wasn't some supernatural thing. He wasn't walking like God on the earth. He was walking like a man. He got hungry, just like you and I get hungry. Sometimes we get on the fast, and we have to remember the food will be there when I get off. We have to remind our flesh it'll be there when we get done fasting. There'll be still some food around. Hallelujah. However, we do need to learn, and I'm learning, and the Lord's helping me. I'm getting there, believe it or not. I have lost some. I'm not as far as I want to go, but I'm going down. Praise the Lord. Just wait. In Jesus' name, I'm declaring by the end of this year, it's all going to be down. I'm going to be where I want to be. Hallelujah. It may not happen as fast as I want it to or as fast as you want it to, but it's taking place. As I fellowship with him, I call my flesh dead. I call my self-control forward. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know you've got to get our words working for us, see? That's how we get our mind transformed and it becomes more and more a part of us. We get a hold of the truth of what and the Word of God said. That's exactly how Jesus defeated the enemy here in the wilderness. We want to walk like He walked, right? Then we're going to have to live in the Father the way Jesus lived in the Father. See, we get all wrapped up in that verse. Jesus said, we'll do greater works. But we forgot, we've got to live in the Father. Jesus lived in the Father first. He walked with the Father for a long time. He walked with Him before He was baptized here. And then, see, after walking, He walked with Him. He lived fully in obedience to the Father and to the law and grew as a man and as a person on the earth because God wanted to fully identify with man. I believe that with all my heart. He wanted to fully identify. If He didn't want to, then why did He come as a baby? Why wouldn't He just come as a man? Boom, I prepared a body for you. Get down there, son. Here you go. Did God forget how to form a body out of the earth? No. He wanted the process to take place so that everyone knew this is a man that will fulfill every part of the law. Humbling Himself. Remember Philippians 2. We've looked at that. Came as a man, laid aside His deity, did not think equality was God, with God, was something that He needed to grasp. No, He said, I lay it aside and I choose to walk as a man. And I choose to lay down my ability as God, who He was. See, He didn't have all knowledge then. He had to rely, what? On the knowledge that His Father gave Him through the Holy Spirit. He had to rely on God. Hallelujah. Just like you and I rely on God. He said, I can't do these works. Why? Because my body, I am a man, just like you're a man. Yeah, but that was Jesus, I know. But we have to remember, 100% man. 100% laid aside everything. Laid aside His deity. He said, yes, I'm God, and yes, I'm preparing the way for you, but the only way I can do it is if I fully become a man so that I can pay the full price. I can fully obey. Man had the sacrifice of the Lamb, which represented the Lamb that was to come. It represented Jesus, who would become the Lamb, really. I mean, the Lamb was saying, hey, Jesus, you know, so when they said Jesus is the Lamb, they understood. He's the sacrifice. He's the paying the price. But now it's not sin once a year being covered, but sin being taken away so that man can now come boldly into the throne room. And who are we then? Sons and daughters of the living King, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance with God Almighty that we can call upon at any moment, at any time, that all of heaven can back us up just like it did Jesus. And we can be sons and daughters and we can walk into our Father's house and have a party any time we so desire. Oh, it's so good to be up today, Lord. Let's have some joy. Let's have a little peace. Hallelujah. I realize your sons are lost. I see your sons and daughters out there, Daddy. You want me to go get them? Do you want me to go find some? Oh, I'll go looking for them. I'll be looking all over for them, Lord. I see your heart, Father, that you want your sons and daughters to come home. I've been changed. I've got a fellowship with my Father. Ooh, I've been placed into His home and He's been placed into mine. See, we have a union now that is finally complete. The Father has longed for it and He had to wait for the fullness of time till Jesus came. But now, So Jesus was then what? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Anybody ever here been into the wilderness? Maybe you went by yourself at first. How many have been led into the wilderness? Amen. Or it seemed like you were being led in the wilderness. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. Everything's going wrong. I mean, this was not a really great time for Jesus. I'm sure it was not easy. We all think, you know, well, he just had these three little temptations. No, 40 days and 40 nights. He said, 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, of course, he's hungry. And the devil says, what does he say? Make these stones to be made bread. Verse 3, the last part. He said, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the devil just ran away and left him alone. It doesn't say that, does it? Then, amen, anybody ever been tempted? Now listen, you just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You're doing really good. You're proud of yourself. God's blessed, you know. You're thinking, man, I'm with God, and how come I'm still having trouble? I fasted all that time. I thought it was supposed to help me. It did help you. It helped us remember something. What God's word said. It said, then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him up on a pinnacle of the temple and says unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, concerning thee, and in their hands they shall not take thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh, man, you know, sometimes that's how the devil works, doesn't he? Be sickness and disease on somebody. It's appointed on a man once to die. Today's your day. Well, sure feels like it. You know, so you sit around and you're waiting. Then you finally realize, that wasn't God at all. That devil tried to trick me. You know, after a little bit, didn't take too long, hopefully, but sometimes he comes and he's trying to trick us and trying to trick Jesus here with what? A little bit of truth. How many knows you don't trick somebody with a complete lie? Amen. It wasn't a lie, totally, but the way he used it, prove who you are. Throw yourself down there. In other words, he came into every emotional realm of Jesus' mind. He took that and he said, why don't you just throw yourself off of this and show that you're God? You could do it. See, sometimes we think, well, Jesus didn't understand what I went through, but he does. He went through it all. He was tempted at every point, just like we are, yet without sin. I'm sure there were times, even the devil in this time, I'm sure he was tempting him. Just do it. It'll, you know, you'll die and you'll just go to the Father. It'll be all right. But he would never accomplish what the Father desired, which was a family of full believers, and Jesus knew it. He knew he must endure. See, this is just the first time Jesus endured. We know he endured a lot more. Hebrews said he endured what? The cross for the joy that was set before him. He had to endure. He had to look what was ahead. He had to look to the future. And sometimes in our midst of our trial, we've got to look to the future. We've got to look and say, this is a temporary thing and it shall pass. This too shall come to pass. Some of the greatest words of the Bible, and it came to pass. It will pass. We do sometimes have trial, and the devil does tempt us, and he does bring thoughts to our mind, but they don't have to stay forever. We can take the Word of God, and we can get it renewed to the truth of what Jesus has said. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I am a son of the living God. I am no longer a sinner, but I am now a son, and I'm no longer bound by sin. Sin has no part in me, even though it may look like it. Mr. Devil, I got news for you. I've been born of my Father above, and I say, Abba, Father, my God. I am in His house. He is in me. I am a walking, living, hallelujah, temple of the living God. He's not dead. He didn't die. Though people have said God's dead, and they tried to say He's gone, He's not alive, but He's very much alive, and He's alive on the inside of us. And sometimes, I'm sure at this point, when the devil's standing before Jesus, he was not feeling all that great. He was not feeling it, folks, but he was saying it. And sometimes when we don't feel it, we've got to get a hold of the Word of God. Get your scriptures and find out who we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Who are we? I've got a few right here. Hallelujah. Romans 8:16, I'm a child of God. How about Psalm 107:2? I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How about Colossians 1:13 and 14? I've been forgiven. How about I'm saved by grace through faith? Ephesians 2:8. How about Romans 5:1 that I've been justified? I've been declared right with God. Hallelujah. See, when we get the truth of who we are and we realize who's in us and we are in Him and His life lives big in us, it doesn't matter what the devil begins to say. We begin to agree with what God has already said, see? What He's already declared. What He is already done. And we become just that very thing. Because if we are faithful and we hold fast to the renewing of our mind, we are not just changed, but we are transformed into the very image of Jesus. The very image of what we say can come to pass. See, that's just one place. How about a little mercy? You need mercy in your life? Anybody got a concordance? Look up mercy. See, there's all kinds of scriptures. All you need, you take some of those scriptures. Maybe you'll write them all down and find the ones that really speak to you. Oh, I've got five or six that I just love. Oh, Lord, I need some mercy today. Oh, His mercies are new every morning. Oh, Father, thank you. Oh, Father, yeah, I forgot. So, well, you're in the Father's house. So was the eldest son. He was in his Father's house. But he forgot that his Father was rich. He forgot that everything his Father had belonged to him. He didn't realize it. He didn't know his Father like he should have. He didn't go into the house in fellowship and spend some time with him. He would have found out that he was looking for the lost son, his brother, who had gone astray. Perhaps he would have said, oh, Father, I didn't realize it hurt your heart so bad. I'll go look for him. I'll bring him home. I'll see if I can find him. See, sometimes we're so consumed in working and so consumed in the place of being tempted. Or so consumed in little things that come against us. And I'm not saying they're all little. Sometimes he likes to play those movies in your mind over and over and over again. See, that's how they got so big. You just let them keep playing. See, Jesus didn't let the devil keep playing movies to him. He didn't let him keep talking all the time. He said with his tongue, with his mouth, it is written. Again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Oh, well, I thought it said he wouldn't dash your foot against a stone if I accidentally fell off, if I was accidentally somehow pushed off, or if something were to come against me and I stumbled and fell, yes, he will not allow any harm to come to me. But we are not to tempt the Lord my God. In other words, I'm not to say, look what I can do. I know God's going to save me. Who does that glorify? Who does that cause people to look to? See, he wanted them to look to the Father. Jesus said, it is the Father in me. I'm trying to restore you back to full relationship with the Father. Yes, with the Son. Yes, with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand the Father has a purpose for you. The Father wants you in the house. The Father has birthed you. The Father has made a home for you and made his home in you. Hallelujah. And see, Jesus knew his Father. He said, it's the Father in me, Philip. Have you been with me so long you haven't recognized it's the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the things that I do, I only do what he has told me to do. I only do those things that I hear him say and do. I'm not just doing my own thing. I'm yielded unto the Father. See, sometimes we miss those verses. Sometimes we skip over them. We want to say, all these greater works I want to do, but we forgot. We've got to realize I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. And when that is the real heartbeat, that I am wanting to show forth my Father. Not that God, you know, it's good. Hey, Jesus knew that God anointed him, but he was giving all glory to the Father because it was the Father doing the work. He said, I'm not really doing it. I'm a man just like you. It is he who is in me that does the works. He that is with me that does the works. And if we can get our minds renewed, the Father's in me. I'm in the Father. We are one. And he is a love God. He loves me. He forgives me. He has cleansed me. He has made me new. I'm not an old sinner. I'm not used up. I'm not no good. I'm somebody. Because God made me somebody. Because God decided to live in me. Because the greater one moved in. That makes me free. The greater one lives on the inside of me. Greater is he. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. We are of God. You're of God. Hallelujah. He's not against you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. He's for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, right? There at the end, he says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Tell me. No one, in other words, can be against you. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, Satan can. Yeah, he's against us, but we got authority, just like Jesus here. All right. So he just, after that, he got tempted again, and he told him, he says, hey, we're not to tempt the Lord our God. And so the devil ran away and hid. No, he didn't, did he? He stuck around. Anybody ever been to that place? Maybe it's the third round. Maybe it's the 10th round. Maybe it's the 100th round. Well, guess what? We're going to get some scriptures and we're going to knock him out. It's going to happen. We're going to keep speaking what God said to speak. His truth. Amen. His word. Hallelujah. Well, anyway. Verse 8, and again the devil takes him into an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Oh, shiny. Anybody see any shiny? Ooh, how about you ladies? You go to that diamond store, you saw that diamond? Shiny. Ooh, that'd look good on my finger. Ooh. I'm not saying all of you. I'm just saying it can be that way. Or guys, you know, that new shiny car. Ooh, What year is that? That's a 65 Mustang. I've been wanting one of those. Isn't that shiny? Look at it shine. Oh, look at that paint job. Shiny. Anyway, the kingdoms of this world. He said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Oh boy. Then said Jesus to him, get thee hence, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How many know the devil wants to tempt you with things to worship? It's all right to have things, but sometimes things can get a hold of us. I don't care what kind of things. It's an antique thing. It was so-and-so's thing. That was great-granny's thing. That was great-grandpa's knife, whatever it was that got lost or stolen. Or we got, you know, somehow we don't have it anymore. Or we got cheated out of this or we got cheated out of that. It didn't come to me and grandma said I could have it and who knows what else. Amen. So anyhow. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So here we see that Satan came to tempt him with stuff. You ever been tempted with stuff? Well, you know, it's all good and well. It's okay. We can have some things. We can ask the Father, get in the house and talk to him about it. You know, most things he doesn't mind you having. But there may be some things that he knows going to take you away from being in Father's house, from talking to him, from fellowshipping with him. They're going to deter you from walking with him, understanding his heart, knowing his ways. Come on. Amen. It's true anyhow. You know, I mean, I'm the pastor of the church. Wouldn't it be great? I think Pastor Dog got to have a real nice boat. Every Sunday he could be out on the lake. You know, I could take my computer and preach to you from the shores of Lake Erie. Praise God. You know, I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? You could see me right here on this big screen and, oh man, you know, I don't think that's God's plan for my life. Even though there's nothing wrong, I could have a boat. I just have to learn not to take it out on Sunday, right? But I'd rather you have a boat and let me use it. That'd be even better, see? Hallelujah. Not necessarily. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with having some things, but don't let them have you. Amen. The Bible says in Luke 14, right? We're to love him. If we're going to be his disciple, what'd he say? If we're going to be his disciple, we've got to be like the master. Our love for him's got to be greater than our love for our husband and wife, our children, and even our own life. Ooh, that's pretty far. You know, you want to be his disciple? After 14, we start 25. We've looked at this before, but I think it bears looking at for a minute, and we'll count it down here. But he's talking about counting the cost a little bit. And Jesus just got done. There's a big multitude behind him. Multitude of people come and, you know, they were following him. Right here in Luke 14, it says 25, and there went great multitudes with him and turned and said unto them, he turned, he says to them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother. Now, I know that's a strong word. We would say probably love less than anyone else. Hate not his father and mother and children and brethren and sisters, yes, and his own life also. He's not a very good disciple. No, it's that he can't be my disciple. Wow. In other words, if we want to be followers of him closely, a disciplined follower, right? That's what a disciple really is, someone that's going to follow him and walk like he walked and be like him, then there's going to have to be some changes in our life. We're going to have to make some decisions. And sometimes they're not always easy. And we've been talking a little bit about suffering, and sometimes this is a little of the sufferings of life. There's a cost of laying down our life and picking up the very life of Christ. Because he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And how many know what a cross is for? Anybody know what a cross was used for back there? We know what Jesus, what he died on it, didn't he? And they killed people on a cross. I guess today we would say, you know, he that, you know, that doesn't take the needle, you know, what do they call that? The when they put him to death in the jailhouse, you know, they use some kind of serum these days. Or we, you know, used to be the electric chair, you know, they get an electric chair. He that doesn't take his electric chair. You know, his shocks and dies. In other words, we had to take up our cross and die to some of these things and come after me. Whew. See, Jesus isn't always calling us. Sometimes we got to come. Do you notice in that story with the two sons, the prodigal son and the elder son, we don't see the father going out, hey, elder son, come on in. Hey, come in for a little bit. He might have asked him a few times. But you know, the door was open. He could have went in any time he wanted to, into the house, the father said. You come anytime. I'm waiting on you. Sometimes we got to come. See, this is a relationship. This is a relationship. It's not all God and none of you. It's all him and all of you, see? It takes both. We walk with him. And that's my desire, to walk with him. Not away from him, but with him. Him in me, me in him, him coming to me, me coming to him, his anointing, his power flows. I'm the one that walks and the one that goes. I'm the one that stretches forth the hands to heal. But his power is the one that does the deal. He's the one that does the work from the inside out. When we walk with the Father, we're going to see those things. There's no doubt. I mean, we'll walk in it. There's not a doubt about it. His word is true. He lives in you. And he lives in me, and he's with us. And he wants to take us to that place in him. See, it's in him. Him in us. Us in him. If we'll believe that he'll walk with us. See, God was with Jesus. Anointed him, yes. Had power on him, yes. And he did good. What about healing and doing good? Why? God was with him. Ooh, and I got good inside information here in the Word of God that if God was with Jesus, he'll be with you. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that we can walk in you. We can walk with you, Father, that you are in us and we are in you. That Jesus prepared that place that we might be the very sons and daughters of the living God. And we can display your power, Lord, when we allow ourselves to remember who we are. And we train ourselves to walk like Jesus walked. We deny our flesh, Father, and we let ourselves die to the things of this world, the temptations that the enemy brings, whether it be in our body, Lord, whether it be in our mind, whether it be the the things of this world, Father, that try to draw us away. Oh, Father, we want to walk with you this day. We want to be your friend, Father. We want to walk closely, Father. We want to bear our cross, Lord. We want to see the same things that Jesus saw and did, Lord. Let us walk in your presence. Father, we know that you're with us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, that you came and made your home in us. Oh, Father, we don't want to just visit once in a while, but we want to live in you. Oh, hallelujah. We want to live with you, Father. We want to be your dwelling place. Oh, we welcome you, Lord, to fill our house, Lord, our body, Lord, our temple, Father, completely with you, Lord. Oh, we love you so much. Thank you for coming and making your home in us. Thank you for cleansing us, Lord. Thank you for making us righteous. Thank you for filling us with yourself. And thank you for being with us, Lord. We love you so much. We want to honor you, Lord. We want to worship you, Jesus. We love you. Magnify you, Lord. Praise you for so great a salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you help us in everything that comes against our mind, our body, our desires, Lord, the lusts of the flesh. Father, you help us, Holy Spirit. And Jesus, you know all about it. You were tempted in every way, yet without sin. Lord, there's nothing that can defeat us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we magnify your name forever. In Jesus' name. Anyway, amen. Hallelujah. Sorry, I didn't mean to preach while I was praying. I just getting thankful. Hallelujah. I was getting thankful. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Whew.